It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News Team. Now, here's what's happening.
Laid to rest. Good afternoon. Welcome aboard. Hundreds of cops from across the country are paying their respects today to a fallen police officer from Rochester, New York. 54-year-old Anthony Mazurkiewicz killed in the line of duty last week. Dan McLean's a retired cop with the RPD.
Every officer, when they get dressed and get ready to go to work, they know in the back of their mind they may not come home to their family.
Governor Hochul's ordered flags lowered to half staff today on all government buildings in New York. The funeral is happening at the Blue Cross Arena in downtown Rochester. Mazurkiewicz, a 29-year veteran of the force, leaves behind a wife, four children, and three grandchildren. All eyes on Asia. House Speaker Pelosi in Singapore today ahead of a possible trip to Taiwan. China calls it an invasion if that happens. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says if Pelosi scratches the Taiwan trip, that would hand a huge victory to China.
We shouldn't allow the Chinese Communist Party to tell American leaders where they can and can't go. If Speaker Pelosi wants to go there and travel there, she ought to go there.
The self-governing island, which China claims as its own, is not on Pelosi's official itinerary. If she does visit Taiwan, she would be the highest ranking U.S. official to do so in about 25 years. North Carolina Congressman Greg Murphy.
We are the United States of America. We are the dominant force for freedom in the world, and we're not going to be told what to do by a communist country.
Peter Schweitzer with the Government Accountability Institute says communist China will stop at nothing to try and overthrow American influence around the world.
What's troubling about China is it's not just the military threat, it's the cultural threat that represents institutions like TikTok that are working to undermine American society.
Chinese state media threatened in a now deleted tweet over the weekend that the communist regime would shoot down any U.S. fighter jet that accompanied Pelosi's plane to Taiwan. Fires and floods, another big story we're following today. We'll begin with those devastating wildfires in California. The McKinney Fire near the border with Oregon has now charred over 52,000 acres. It is the largest of the western wildfires this summer, encompassing an area about the size of the city of Baltimore. That fire is so extreme, folks, that it's actually formed its own weather system. Meantime, in eastern Kentucky, the death toll now 30 after those ferocious floods last week. Governor Andy Beshear.
With the level of water, we're going to be finding bodies for weeks.
The horrific flooding ripped entire houses from the ground and swallowed up whole neighborhoods.
It's all gone. All gone.
There's still people that they can't find. We're lucky enough to be alive.
Among the lives that were tragically lost, four children from the same family, dozens still missing in eastern Kentucky. A new CBS News Battleground tracker poll shows if the 2022 midterms were held today, Republicans would take back control of the House. Anthony Salvantos, the director of elections for CBS.
Voters say what's on their mind is the way they think things are just going in the country, and they think it's going badly.
He thinks women could be a key factor in the fall, and abortion, as much as inflation, could be a key issue in deciding which party rules the roost in D.C. next year. For those keeping score at home, there are 99 days until the election. The Wall Street Journal reports that $769 billion Inflation Reduction Act that West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin signed on to last week, that piece of legislation actually increases inflation over the next couple of years. And what's more, the Journal predicts the legislation does nothing to lessen inflation until the year 2031. That's 9 years from now. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso says you don't spend your way out of a recession.
What Manchin and the Democrats and the president are now proposing are the two cardinal sins that you don't want to do when the economy is in such a dire situation. Number one is they want to raise taxes in the middle of a recession. The other is they want to do massive government spending. They have a 725-page bill, and it's over $1 billion a page.
Still, Senator Manchin is confident the legislation that he agreed to last week will lower inflation. The measure provides $7,500 in tax credits to encourage more Americans to buy electric vehicles. Well, since the start of the pandemic, about 70% of public schools in this country have reported an increase in students seeking mental health services. A study by the American Enterprise Institute found nearly 1.5 million students have left public school since the pandemic began. Parents are suing to prevent the masking of children in L.A. schools.
The harms to our kids outweigh any benefit of masking them.
Attorney Julie Hamill.
Every single day, I speak to a parent of a child who has ended up hospitalized due to mental health issues arising from our pandemic policies.
Los Angeles had planned to reimpose a mask mandate due to the new COVID subvariant, but those plans are on hold for now. LA County Schools, the second largest school district in the country. Still to come on the Noon Report, the cattle battle continues. The mobile pregnancy care van, and Rochester remembers a fallen hero.
This is meteorologist Ken McKinley. Warm this afternoon. Temperatures into the 80s. A lot of sun in New York areas and increasing amounts of sun in Pennsylvania. We'll have some showers and thunderstorms this evening and overnight tonight. Full forecast details are coming your way in about 10 minutes.
All right. Thank you, Ken. As mentioned at the top of the broadcast, a funeral service happening right now for the 54-year-old Rochester police officer who was shot and killed last week while on duty. Officer Anthony Mazurkiewicz leaves behind a wife and four children. He was a 29-year veteran of the force. Fellow cop Greg Bello.
You want to talk about a role model of an officer? Officer Mazurkiewicz, right, is that role model.
Flags flying at half staff today at all state buildings in New York in honor of the fallen police officer. In Mazurkiewicz's hometown of Parenton, residents are also paying their respects.
He touched so many lives, and we never know who we touch and how, in what little way or big way.
We need to keep showing our respect to them. As the saying goes, we don't need to know them, but we owe them.
Governor Hochul joining hundreds of police officers from all over New York and the entire country in attendance at today's funeral, which is happening at the Blue Cross Arena in downtown Rochester. A crash during a motorcycle charity ride in western Pennsylvania over the weekend sent at least 8 bikers to the hospital. It happened in the town of Allegheny. That chain reaction accident happened during the 11th annual Ride for the Cure event to raise funds for breast cancer research. A pregnancy care center on wheels is off and running in Syracuse, New York. This new mobile pro-life facility is actually a van that provides free ultrasounds to abortion-vulnerable women.
We partnered with Save the Storks, which is a national pro-life organization, to build and launch this unit, and we actually just got it on July 5th.
Kathy German is with New Hope Family Services.
Hopefully, we'll be able to partner with different social service agencies, different churches, free health clinics. We want to really partner with some of the college campuses, even just to be on site maybe for their orientations this fall as they welcome back students.
The Mobile Pregnancy Care Center is targeting areas of the Salt City where the abortion rate is high. The Wolf Administration in Pennsylvania announcing a new anti-litter campaign today. Its aim is to reduce the amount of trash along the side of highways and in the waterways. The governor will be joined by representatives from various state agencies in announcing this new Keep Pennsylvania Beautiful campaign. Today's press event will happen at 1 o'clock at the City Island Boat Launch in Harrisburg. The cattle battle continues in Newfane, New York.
This has just taken off in Newfane. We got our neighbors back.
Two runaway cows from a local farm found their way to an animal sanctuary, and that sanctuary is refusing to give the cows back. Now the cow controversy is creating something of an uproar throughout Niagara County.
Release the lady!
Don't
mess with farmers.
Dueling protests were held over the weekend by representatives from Aisha's Farm Sanctuary and New Fane residents who support the farmer who had his cows stolen.
Return the cows.
We don't need to kill animals to survive.
I just don't think it's right that she stole cows that don't belong to her.
The owner of Aisha's Animal Sanctuary, Tracy Murphy, trying to work out a deal with McKee Farms to keep the cows. The Niagara County Farm Bureau calls her a beef thief.
Don't take things that don't belong to you.
Local police now involved in this cattle battle, but there's been no resolution nearly 2 weeks after the cows were taken by that animal sanctuary. A serial shoplifter from New York City is behind bars today after being busted for the 101st time for robbery. Yeah, you heard it right. 101 times this same person has been arrested. 41-year-old Michelle McKelly tells a local reporter she has no plans to stop. She'll continue the shoplifting if she's released again.
Will you steal even now that you're out on supervised release?
I have to give me an outfit.
You have to what?
I have to give me an outfit.
You have to get a new outfit.
I have to get a new outfit.
McKelly was last arrested in June for stealing $125 worth of merchandise from a CVS in Manhattan, only to be let out under New York's controversial bail reform law. Police are not saying how long they plan to keep the serial shoplifter in custody this time. A new sunflower maze is in full bloom in the tiny town of Jasper, New York, not far from the border with Pennsylvania. Ezra Segris says at first he just wanted to grow his wife Brianna a patch of sunflowers, but it turned into a whole field of sunflowers.
The sunflowers just did really good, and then Brianna liked where the sunflowers were, so I saved her half acre, and they bloomed and were beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then this year she said, we want more sunflowers.
This is the Segris' first year of operating their sunflower maze, and so far business is said to be booming.
It's been great. We've had so many people. There's so much field that there's not like huge crowds, but It's been very busy.
The Segris tell WENY-TV that their maze is over a mile long, and so far they've had over 100 visitors. Jasper, New York's Sunflower Maze is open every Saturday in August from 9 to 9 and Sundays from noon to 9. I guess I'll have to check that out. Let's check out sports next. It's the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, the news is good news all the way around for the New York Mets. They pounded out 19 hits with three apiece from Lindor, McNeil, and Canna as they beat Miami 9-3. It is the Amazons' sixth straight victory. And their ace, Jacob DeGrom, will make his first start of the season tomorrow against the Nationals. It's been over a year since DeGrom last pitched in the bigs. Kyle Schwarber and Alex Baum both went deep, and Aaron Nola tossed one-run ball over six innings. The Phillies took down the Pirates 8-2. Elsewhere in the National League, Atlanta, St. Louis, the Dodgers, San Francisco all won their games. Over in the American League, Salvador Perez hit a three-run shot in the top of the ninth, and that shot the Royals past the Yankees 8-6, the final. LeMahieu and Rizzo both hit home runs for New York. Toronto, Cleveland, Chicago, Houston, and Texas, your other American League winners. In interleague action, Boston beat Milwaukee 7-2, Cincinnati edged Baltimore 3-2, and the Padres topped Minnesota also by that 3-2 score. Baseball's trade deadline is tomorrow at 6 p.m., so expect some wheeling and dealing to happen between now and then. The NBA is mourning the loss of legend Bill Russell, who passed away yesterday at the age of 88. Many consider Russell to be the greatest player of all time in NBA history. He won 11 NBA championships. That's probably never going to be matched or broken. To NASCAR, Tyler Reddick outlasted a wild road course at the Brickyard and led for 38 laps in an overtime win. Austin Cindric was second, Harrison Burton finished third. That is a look at sports.
All right, Randy, man, thank you kindly. And still to come on the Noon Report for a Monday, we'll have some flood aftermath in Kentucky. The Taiwan trip and the uproar that's causing, plus high hard heat is on the way. So too is Ken McKinley in 4 minutes.
Here's what happens when a culture starts thinking and talking about sex instead of the future. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. It's not normal or healthy for a culture to talk about sex so much, from Pride Month to education to companies telegraphing their commitments to inclusion and diversity to just about every commercial, movie, TV show produced today. Sexuality is treated as if it is central to human identity, human purpose, and human happiness. And this vision of life in the world is especially force-fed to children, who are essentially the subjects of our social experimentations. Now, if the energy we spend talking about sex is indeed disproportionate, it's important to know there were some who saw this coming. The best example was Oxford sociologist J.D. Unwin. In 1939, Unwin published a landmark book summarizing his research. It was called Sex and Culture. He looked at 80 tribes and 6 historical civilizations over the course of 5 millennia through the lens of this question. Does a culture's ideas of sexual liberation predict its success or collapse? Well, Unwin's findings were overwhelming. Quote, just as societies have advanced and then faded away into a state of general decrepitude, so in each of them has marriage first previously changed from a temporary affair based on mutual consent to a lifelong association of one man with one woman, and then turned back to a loose union or to polygamy, end quote. What's more, Unwin concluded, quote, the whole of human history does not contain a single instance of a group becoming civilized unless it has been absolutely monogamous. Nor is there any example of a group retaining its culture after it has adopted less rigorous customs, end quote. Simply put, it's obvious that sexuality is essential for survival. However, sexuality is such a powerful force, it has to be controlled, or else it can destroy a civilization rather than secure it. When a culture fails to restrain its sexual impulses, people think less about securing the future and instead compromise the stability, the productivity, and the well-being of the next generation in a full pursuit of sexual pleasure, which we seem to be living out in real time. According to Pew Research, almost 90% of children lived with 2 married parents back in 1960. By 2008, that number had dropped to just 64%. And over the same period, the percentage of kids born to unmarried women rose from 5% to 41%. And there's really no question how this impacts children. Studies show that teens from single-parent or blended families are 300% more likely to need psychological assistance, twice as likely to drop out of high school, and more likely also to commit suicide. They end up with less college education and lower-paying jobs than their parents and are more likely to get divorced themselves. And that's just one aspect of it. Now, none of this are because children from non-traditional homes have less potential or less value, nor do stable two-parent families guarantee outcomes for children. Statistics simply do not determine the future of an individual, but they can identify the future of a society. Christian faithfulness in this cultural moment must involve the protection of children. It must also involve a commitment to the future of society. At the very least, that will mean speaking up, especially when it's unpopular to do so. There's simply too much at stake. And we'll need to remind ourselves and each other of something that should be obvious, but isn't always, that the ideas and the behavior of the late sexual revolution is not normal. The degree of our fascination and attention is unhealthy. And at the end of the day, none of this matches reality. Human sexuality is not an arbitrary construct like a speed limit. It's as much a part of the fabric of life as gravity is. We might deny it, but we will not avoid the pain of hitting the ground if we do. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
It's 19 past the hour. We got some high, hard heat on the way. Ken McKinley next.
Good afternoon. A summertime afternoon across the region with temperatures into the 80s in almost all areas. Quite a bit of sunshine across our New York areas on through the afternoon. In Pennsylvania, there's been some cloud cover so far today, but more and more sun coming out as the afternoon moves along. Might be a thunderstorm toward evening over southwest of New York and northwestern Pennsylvania as a cold front approaches from the west. That front will sweep across the region tonight, bringing with it some showers and thundershowers. And tomorrow behind it, some sunshine, maybe a leftover shower or two in the morning in some New York locations. And temperatures tomorrow not quite as warm as today, and the humidity a bit lower by afternoon as well. Actually fairly comfortable tomorrow night with temperatures falling into the 50s, but temperatures heading well back up into the 80s again on Wednesday as we see quite a bit of sunshine at midweek.
All right, Ken, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for checking in today. A lot going on this Monday, the very first day of August. Rochester is mourning today the loss of a near 30-year veteran of the police force. Officer Anthony Mazurkiewicz was shot in the line of duty last week. His funeral is happening today at the Blue Cross Arena in downtown Rochester. Retired cop Dan McClain.
When there is a line of duty death, I simply tell people, get out of the way. Let them do their thing. Let them honor and respect the fallen.
Hundreds of New York State troopers and cops from all across the country are in attendance at today's funeral. Inflation Nation. More of us than ever before are looking for help with our credit card bills as the price we pay for the stuff we buy remains sky high. Economists say wage growth is simply not keeping pace with inflation. That means everyday Americans are getting buried in debt.
We're having to cut back a lot right now just to get back.
We can't afford it. Prices are too high. Interest rates are too high. When is this going to kind of come back to earth?
A lot of Americans now starting to have to make partial payments on their monthly credit card bills due to the impact that inflation is having.
We have seen a dramatic increase, almost double the number of new people calling our office looking for help with credit card debt, and that's just been in the past 2 months.
While gas costs have come down slightly, food prices have not, and it's burning a hole in America's collective pocketbook. The death toll has risen to 30 from flash flooding in eastern Kentucky. Eunice Howard lives in Hazard, Kentucky.
Within 10 to 12 minutes, I heard a noise and I raised the window and I seen the water and I knew I had to get out of there.
Governor Andy Beshear.
The level of devastation is really unprecedented, and it's going to take us a long time to rebuild.
It could take weeks to find all the victims, dozens still missing. Damage to bridges and roads is making rescue efforts difficult.
Rain-triggered flash flooding wiped out homes and infrastructure, leaving residents shattered.
I had my whole life saved him. I ain't got nothing.
Governor Andy Beshear expects the number of deaths to rise in the coming days. After nearly a foot of rain fell on parts of eastern Kentucky, emergency crews have rescued thousands of people in just a matter of days, but those efforts could last weeks.
We have dozens of bridges that are out that make it hard to get to people.
For those who lost everything, the rebuilding process is only just beginning.
I don't know where to start, what to do, where to go.
From the flood to the fire, firefighters in California are battling the largest wildfire of summer today. It's happening in the Klamath National Forest near the border with Oregon. This woman was moving into a new home when it was swallowed up by the flame.
My house is gone, all my furniture, all my clothes, everything's gone.
The McKinney Fire erupted Friday and has already charred over 50,000 acres, 0% containment. House Speaker Pelosi in Asia today. While a trip to Taiwan is not officially on the itinerary, several media outlets are reporting she does plan to stop by there. China warned today there would be serious consequences if she does.
The Chinese Communist dictatorship doesn't tell the American speaker where they can or can't go. You have to stand up to the Chinese Communist, or they will interpret it as a sign of weakness, and they'll grow even more aggressive.
Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich is the highest-ranking U.S. official to ever visit Taiwan. He did that in 1997. Pelosi may do it this week. Bill Russell, the Basketball Hall of Famer and civil rights activist, died yesterday. He was 88. While in Boston with the Celtics, Russell won 11 titles in 13 years. Found it hard, though, to win respect as a black athlete.
I had a game where I had 25 points, 25 rebounds, 10 blocks, and the Boston Herald said I was lucky I got to play with Cousy.
A reference there to Boston guard Bob Cousy. Russell won an Olympic gold medal and the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2011. He was also the first black coach in any major pro sports franchise. His last two seasons with the Celtics, he was a player coach. It's 25 past the hour, and this is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to Faith Foundations, a new summer feature on family life. Every Monday, we look to answer some of the questions Christians have in their walk with the Lord. Today, we sit down with Tripp Ullman of Summit Ministries in Colorado. For those that maybe don't know or could use some more background, how do you define the Holy Trinity?
So the Trinity is such an important concept and important, you know, essential to Christianity, and it's often confused. In fact, the way that a lot of people try to define it sounds illogical. It sounds like we worship one God, except we worship three gods, because Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So how does this make any sense? So I guess to clearly state it is, well, that's not actually the claim that Christians are making, this word Trinity. What we mean is that God is one God, and he exists in three persons. The word Trinity itself is not actually found in the Bible, but the concept certainly is. And in fact, this word Trinity that was kind of produced, most specifically at the Council of Nicaea, was really a solution to a potential problem. This guy named Arius, he was teaching that Jesus wasn't divine, like he wasn't deity, he wasn't God. And, of course, other church leaders were like, wait, where did this come from? This is something new. We need to clearly define what it is that we believe. And when we look through Scripture, we see very clearly that there is one God. But then we see examples of God the Father. We see examples of God the Son and God the Holy Spirit interacting with each other. So how can it be that each of these three individuals have claimed to deity, yet there is only one God? The thing that solves it for us, which is a mystery, a paradox, if you will, but not illogical, is that God exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the passage that comes to mind for me to really see this clearly is in the baptism of Jesus, when we see the interactions of all three persons in that passage. So clearly defined, there is one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Again, mysterious, because we don't encounter beings like this in our day-to-day life, but of course we shouldn't expect to be able to understand all things about God, since he is infinite, and we are certainly not.
How do we interact and view each one, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit?
First of all, in order to have a relationship with God, it's something to have a relationship with an individual. I think something that's important for us to remember is that God exists in a relationship to which then we can be brought into as a part of this family, if you will, of God. We hear it so often, God is love, and some people haven't stopped to really think about what that means. Well, the fact that God exists as Trinity means that we can say God is love. What does it mean to say God is love if he's an individual? There's multiple people that are required for love to exist, a relationship to exist. Part of this love, then, that is extended to us is the way that we get to relate to God. A theologian and a speaker here at Summit, or has been in the past, Dr. Fred Sanders, he works at Biola University. He wrote a little book called The Trinity, basically. And he makes the claim that the Trinity is the gospel. And it's a provocative way to say it, but when we think about it, the way that we have access to God, the way that we're brought into the family of God, actually involves all three persons of the Trinity. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, the person and work of Jesus is applied to our lives such that we have direct access to God the Father. And that blows my mind. The more that we stop and think about that, we have access to God, and all three persons are directly involved. The Holy Spirit indwells us and gives us access into this Godhead because of the person and work of Jesus, who has died for our sins, such that now when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus instead of our wickedness. So instead of punishing us, he adopts us as sons, just like his son Jesus. Since Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, he tells us that he will send another, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to indwell us, such that we can be in direct access to have this access to the throne room of God. Another interesting thing that Sanders brings up, not only is the Trinity the gospel, but this is also the way in which we commune with God, not just in salvation, but in daily life. So in prayer is the biggest and perfect example. Mm-hmm. How is it that we pray? How is it that we have access to God the Father? You know, when Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How we pray is the same way that we are saved, through the power of the Holy Spirit. by the person and work of Jesus, we pray in his name, powered by the Holy Spirit, to God the Father. That's the grain of prayer, which is also the grain of salvation, which is the Trinity itself. Again, mind-blowing, mysterious, phenomenal. But I think the more that we wrestle with this and understand the Trinity, the deeper our relationship grows, because the deeper our understanding of God grows.
That's Tripp Ullman of Summit Ministries in Colorado, our guest today on Faith Foundations, which airs every Monday over the summer as we look to answer some of the questions Christians have in their walk with the Lord.
All right, Brandon, thank you very much. And you can listen to all of our Faith Foundations features during the Noon Report or catch them online anytime at familylife.org.
Good afternoon, a summertime afternoon across the region with temperatures into the 80s in almost all areas. Quite a bit of sunshine across our New York areas on through the afternoon. Pennsylvania has been some cloud cover so far today, but more and more sun coming out as the afternoon moves along. Might be a thunderstorm toward evening over southwestern New York and northwestern Pennsylvania as a cold front approaches from the west. That front will sweep across the region tonight, bringing with it some showers and thundershowers, and tomorrow behind it, some sunshine, maybe a leftover shower or two in the morning in some New York locations, and temperatures tomorrow not quite as warm as today, and the humidity a bit lower by afternoon as well. Actually fairly comfortable tomorrow night with temperatures falling into the 50s, but temperatures heading well back up into the 80s again on Wednesday as we see quite a bit of sunshine at midweek.
All right, Ken McKinley at the Weather Center, and finally from us at noon today, a Canadian candy company is searching for a professional taste tester. Sign me up.
An Ontario-based company called Candy Funhouse is looking for what it describes as the world's first chief candy officer. The role involves taste testing roughly 3,500 products each month and comes with a salary of up to $100,000 per year. The job listing states applicants must have an obvious love for sugar. The taste tester will be able to work from home or in person in Newark, New Jersey, or Toronto. I'm Mark Mayfield.
All right, Mark, thank you for that. And that's our world for Monday, the very first day of August. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.